Today we are going to look into quality management system in healthcare, ISO 9001:2015, in our lessons of quality management in healthcare. ISO certification is an important step towards assuring the customers that their institution has acquired a certain degree of quality standard of international level. The standards prepared by ISO are voluntary, market-driven, based on consensus among all the interested parties and are applicable worldwide. ISO 9001 is the world's most popular and most commonly used standard for quality management systems. And absolutely, ISO 9001 is one of the very, very vital aspects of quality management system. A standard is not a law, but an agreement or best practice that an organization can apply voluntarily. Obviously, a standard reflects a good level of professionalism. So typically, standard is not a law, but it reflects what has to be done. And that is the difference between a law and what is a standard. A quality management system is a tool with which an organization can determine how it can meet the requirements of its customers and the other interested parties that are involved in its activities. So mostly, if you see the synopsis of the slide, is that we are talking about ISO 9001 as a commonly used standard for quality management. Standard is not a law, but it has to be followed, because it gives a good level of professionalism. And quality management system is a tool with which how the requirements can be met of the various customers. What is the benefits of ISO 9001 quality management system? It shows that you provide products and services of consistent quality. It shows that you provide products and services that meet the customer's requirements, comply with the law and legislation, and meet the organization's own requirement. So by following all these ISO 9001 quality management services, we are ensuring a lot of things. We are ensuring quality, consistent quality, complying with the law and legislation, and giving a best service to the customer. It can help you streamline your business process and continuously improve them. Obviously, ISO 9001 can help you streamline your process, improvement, continuous improvement, and it helps you to increase the customer satisfaction, because you are always and always you are entitled, or you are going ahead for quality changes. It is positive for your image, obviously, because if you do quality, you are changing your image, and the patient will always feel best in this kind of environment. It's positive. You show that you comply with international recognized quality standards, and this is often a requirement for customers and they supply to do business with you. The most recent ISO 9001:2015 standard is, it was developed by the ISO TC176 SC2 Quality Systems Technical Committee, and it's published on 23rd September 2015. Organizations must implement the new 2015 standard before 23rd September 2018 in order to continue complying with ISO 9001. So this is a very, very important date. Most recent is this ISO 9001:2015 standard is constructed around 7 quality management principles: customer focus, leadership, engagement of people, process approach, improvement, evidence-based decision making, relationship management. Obviously, because these are the main important quality management principles. If you don't have customer focus, no quality. Leadership, yes, you have to initiate and do certain things. Engagement of people, obviously, you are going in a team, so you have to engage people. process approach should be there, improvement should be there, continuous improvement, evidence-based decision-making should be there, and relationship management should always be there. ISO 9000:2015 has 10 clauses instead of 8. So, following table shows relationship of the 9001:2008 clauses to those in the new ISO 9001:2015. So, you can see 2008 and 2015. So, we are comparing the ISO. Introduction, scope, normative references, terms and definitions are same for both. Quality and management system is the clause, fourth clause, whereas in 2008 where it was replaced by context of the organization. Management responsibility was the clause, fifth clause in 2008, it was replaced by leadership. Resource management was in the sixth clause in 2008, it was replaced by planning. Seventh clause, product realization, was replaced by support in 2015. Measurement, analysis and improvement was replaced by operation. And there were performance evaluation and improvement, two additional clauses which were added in 2015. So, you can see that, you know, instead of 8, you have 10 clauses. The first three clauses in ISO 9001:2015 are largely the same as those ISO 9001:2008 we just saw. But there are considerable differences between the 2008 and 15 from the fourth clause onwards that we just saw. The last seven clauses are now arranged according to the PDCA cycle. That is plan, do, check and act. Clauses 4, 5, 6, 7 of ISO 9001:2015 come under plan, do. Out of plan, do, check and act, it comes under plan. Clause 8 comes under do. Clause 9 comes under check. And clause 10 is covered by act. So, we have 4, 5, 6, 7 clause in plan, 8 in do, check, 9 in check and 10 in is act. So, this is how the distribution of the 7 clauses. ISO 9001:2015 puts more focus on input and output. There is more emphasis in ISO 9001:2015 on measuring and properly assessing the input and output of processes. According to ISO 9001:2015, you must closely monitor which articles, information and specifications are involved in the production process. You must also clearly check whether good articles come out of the production process or how is the situation. Yes, we can see this chart. This is the source of inputs, activities, outputs, receivers of outputs, starting point and ending point of the activities. Now, for example, source of inputs, predecessor processes, example, all providers, internal, external, at customers, at other relevant interested parties. Inputs will be matter, energy, information, example in any in the form of materials, resources, requirements. Possible controls and checkpoints to monitor and measure performance are across all. So, you are monitoring entire, not only the source of inputs, but also inputs, activities, outputs and receivers of outputs. Again, matter, energy, information, example in terms of product, services, decision and subsequent processes at customers, internal or any other interested party. So, this is a typical possible flow chart of, you know, wherever the possible controls and checkpoints are to measure the performance. Risk-based thinking is at the core of ISO 9001:2015. So what is risk-based thinking? It is very important place. So you have now strongly encouraged as an organization to use risk analysis. If there are issues or risks or problem areas which may come after some time, yes, risk management and risk-based thinking is very, very important. So, as an organization to use risk analysis, you have to decide for yourself in the first place, what are the challenges that you see in the management of your business processes. So, hospital for example. So, what are the risks that you are seeing? Today you see that, okay, hospital has got, you know, processes. So, maybe your hospital is not equipped with processes. So, processes can be a risk to your present situation, but yes, if you can think what can be the way to develop the processes, develop a quality manual, that can be risk mitigation. ISO 9001:2015 requires an organization to construct its quality management system from now on, from the specific context within which it is active. This means, among other things, that as an organization, you have to take into account the needs and expectations of interested parties, and that you evaluate and deal with internal and external strategic questions. That means you have to understand expectations and needs of the parties, stakeholders, maybe patients, maybe customers, maybe different other, you know, doctors or professionals. You have to show that as an organization you understand and respond to the expectations of all the parties concerned. In ISO 9001:2008, customers were often named as being the only interested parties. This concept has now been extended in ISO 9001:2015. Extended to whom? Suppliers, personnel, stakeholders, shareholders, legislative bodies, society, internal customers are also now included in this interested party. As an organization, you have to be aware of the importance of this interested parties' changing requirements and standards. Obviously, society may have different standards, internal customers may have different standards, so these standards are changing, so you have to understand that and anticipate in the futures of your products and services. So for example, if today, let us say that a patient wants electronic billing, yes, instead of handwritten bill, you should provide in the electronic billing. So this is how the changes are occurring, requirements are changing, and you have to comply. Role of ISO 9001:2015 in healthcare. Risk-based thinking. Now we were discussing about risk-based thinking, so let us understand in detail what is it about. It is the core concept of all quality related activities, identifying the risks that may hamper the performance and at the same time identify the opportunities that may enhance performance. This has made it easy for the healthcare sector to align the risk elements in the healthcare with patient safety, thus enhancing patient satisfaction. So it's very, very important to have risk-based thinking. It is assessing the aspects which can bring a bad name to the healthcare organization in terms of reputation loss and at the same time lead to monetary loss. For example, adverse incidents like medication errors, transfusion errors, baby abduction, baby swap, bodily injury to the patient, due to faulty treatment, surgical mishap, fire. So we have to understand, see, these are lot and lot of, and these are the not the only points which are there. So there may be more such kind of mishaps which can happen. So we have to assess which can bring a bad name, and we have to accordingly start thinking how to prevent all these things in a predictive mode. Risk assessment and risk management automatically become an integral part of all the patient care and support service activities. A lot of preventive actions are required to be implemented at every level to prevent any mishap and ensure patient safety in the service delivery. Risk-based thinking is all pervasive and should happen at every level of organization with equal involvement of employees at every level. Risk assessment, risk management, controls, preventive action and contingency plans, quality objectives are integral part of the risk-based thinking. So, these are important parts of all the risk-based thinking. Risk-based thinking provides the scope for recognizing opportunities for further improvement, continual quality improvement required for sustaining the business. Periodic wave of processes, plans and quality objectives are important. And this is why risk-based thinking is very, very important. It is a team effort and should also take into consideration the needs and expectations of the stakeholders, those who are directly and indirectly involved in the process, those who are directly and indirectly affected by the process. Involve all the stakeholders wherever possible. It is very much important because you have to have all this risk-based thinking into situations. Like I can give you an example of a risk-based thinking. Like in one situation, there was a hospital where an intern was managing the hospital. It was a surgeon hospital, so a case of injury came into his hospital. The surgeon was not there, so intern was managing the hospital, and he was a very skilled, he has a very skilled knowledge in surgery he had. So when the injury came, that was actually, and this hospital particularly was at a village outskirts, so not very great, you know, with all the systems and technology was not there. But it was a fairly good amount of hospital, so he could manage all the things. And since it was a surgeon's hospital, obviously all the surgical instruments were there, nursing staff and all, everything was there. So this intern, he started, you know, because the injury was on the buttocks of a villager. He was, you know, injured by the bullock, because this kind of injuries are rampant in the village hospitals, village side. So obviously such kind of injuries. At that point of time, the intern did, you know, started suturing, and he sutured himself everything, and he plastered and bandaged all the wound and sent the patient away. When the patient returned, he was quite well, and the intern obviously was very happy. He showed it to the surgeon that look, that, you know, he had done all these things on his own, and, you know, the patient was good and benefited. The surgeon told him one thing, but it is good that it has been, you know, done properly and all those things, but he should have called an anesthetist, because at certain points of time you have to have somebody preventive, some good persons over there to overlook your job, because that, if this particular situation would have gone into a different aspect, negative aspect, then it would have been a very dangerous situation. And at that point of time, the anesthetist or a local surgeon could have helped. So this is what is the understanding of the risk and trying to, you know, reduce it and involving the stakeholders wherever important possible. Take into account the statutory and regulatory requirements. Obviously, maintain the records of crucial findings, recommended actions, actions taken, desired results and actual results. This is helpful in finding opportunities for improvement, and which is very, very important, because more medical records, more you can be very good into all those things. Do remember that it is not always possible to eliminate a risk completely. It is possible to reduce the probability of a risk through implementation of proper controls, preventive actions. Sometimes the risk can be transferred, maybe by giving the job to another skilled person or by outsourcing the function to another organization which is specially skilled in that activity, or by any other method as deemed fit by the organization. So it is very good to understand that, you know, the risk can be transferred, you know, or it can be transferred by giving the job to skilled person. Okay, or you can outsource the thing, and this happens. This happens in pharma industry because certain jobs are outsourced to clinical research organizations. Or maybe for that matter, if a hospital has got patients who are, you know, who are having cancer or all things, and if the hospital do not have consultants, then they take the services of external consultants who come to their hospital. So that is also done. Some amount of risks may have to be retained based on informed decision and past data. Absolutely. If past data is, you know, and it is always better to have past data because you understand what were the risks and how were they mitigated and what can be done in future. There must be control plan, contingency plan. Control plans is like preventive actions, contingency plan is like plan to tackle fire emergency, etc. You must have heard that, you know, recently there was a fire break in the hotels and there was no proper fire, you know, maintenance, so training was not there, so many of the people died over there. If that can happen in hotel, it can always happen in hospital. So you have to take care of all these things. Okay, so what is the risk-based thinking? We have to define the process. Identify the risk elements involved in the process by asking following questions. What are the functions, features or requirements? What can go wrong? And how it can be controlled? Define the process. What are the effects? How severe will the effects be? What are the causes of failure mode? How can this be prevented and detected? How often does it happen? And make action plan for each cause of this failure. That's absolutely the right way of risk-based thinking. Risk-based thinking also means opportunities for improvement. One way of achieving this is through quality objectives. Identify the opportunities and define the objectives for improvement. For all critical or important processes and activities, there should be a quality objective. Example, bed sore, phlebitis, needle and stick injury, breakdown and uptime of critical medical equipment, etc. So, the quality objective, so you have to identify what can go wrong and then how it can be saved. That is what is risk-based thinking. And you are, when you are doing this, you are actually positioning yourself a step towards quality. Analyze the risks associated with the objectives. This risk assessment should be done also from the business risk point of the view. You lay down the course of action to achieve the objectives. Make sure your quality objectives are practically achievable, measurable and monitorable. Yes, the objective should be achievable, measurable and monitor, because unless you monitor the objectives, you can't see whether it has achieved or not. Once achieved, they should be sustainable. Yes, it should be continuous. There should be a review process for the quality objectives to determine progress made, whether the progress, how is the progress, how are we going to do that, whether in an hospital, how are you actually developing the risk process, overcoming the risk process. For every quality objective, it is important to chart out roles and responsibilities of the staff. Absolutely, because each staff has got a different responsibilities and roles, so you have to actually chart out. There should be a documented plan for quality objectives, which should be there. Risk assessment should also be done for all the outsourced activities like housekeeping, security, catering, pharmacy, blood bank, ambulance, laundry. Ambulance, maintenance of ambulance should be there. Catering, yes, how much is the inflow of the food and how much is the inventory and how is the how's the maintenance. Pharmacy, yes, again, how are you maintaining the inventory of the medicines, that is important. Blood bank, yes, because of a lot of regulations are there now, we have to understand all these things before we actually go for outsourced services. an outsourced organization should also be made an integral part of such a risk assessment. So we have to, because there will be outsourced organizations and you'll have to make a lot of risk assessment exercises. Reputation risk assessment. The healthcare organizations should also do a reputation risk assessment, because the healthcare sector often comes into the news for the wrong reasons, more so because sector deals directly with the human lives. And absolutely correct, because you never know, if you are dealing with patients, the patient may die and it can be blamed on the healthcare organizations. So risk assessment has to be done. Mandatory documents required to be produced if you want to be compliant with ISO 9001:2015. Scope of the QMS, clause 4.3, quality policy, clause 5.2, quality objectives, clause 6.2, criteria for evaluation and selection of suppliers, clause 8.4.1. So, scope, quality policy, objectives, and whom are you going to choose as a suppliers? These are very, very, very important from a mandatory document point of view. Some of the mandatory records: monitoring and measuring equipment calibration records, clause 7.1.5.1, records of training, skills, experience and qualification, clause 7.2, product service requirements review records, clause 8.2.3.2, record about design and development outputs review, clause 8.3.2, record about design and development inputs, clause 8.3.3. So these are the mandatory records which are responsible or which are necessary for all these ISO certifications. Records of design and development controls, clause 8.3.4. Records of design and development outputs, clause 8.3.5. Design and development change records, clause 8.3.6, characteristics of the product to be produced and service to be provided, clause 8.5.1. So these, you have seen the mandatory records. Now you would see this, that it is a National Accreditation Board for Certification Bodies. So that you can see that there is the logo above, and provides accreditation to certification and inspection bodies based on assessment of their competence as per board's criteria and in accordance with international standards and guidelines. This is the National Accreditation Board for Certification Bodies. It is internationally recognized and represents the interests of Indian industry at international forums through memberships and active participation, with the objective of becoming a signatory to the international multilateral mutual recognition arrangements. So this is a very internationally recognized organization, and it is one of the integral parts which are organizations which actually propose quality. Thank you.